This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. As U.S.-led forces marched across Iraq, many of the country's majority Shia Muslims greeted them with relief and joy. The Shia suffered brutal repression under Saddam Hussein and are happy to see him go. But now that the U.S. is trying to organize a ruling authority in Iraq, many Shia want no part of it. Leading opposition groups boycotted this week's leadership meeting in Nasiriya. Thousands of others marched to protest American occupation. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports Iraq's Shia seem to be posing a serious challenge to U.S. plans.
The day after the U.S. Army rolled into the Shiite holy city of Najaf, to throngs of cheering crowds, Central Command spokesman announced that the local Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani had issued a fatwa, or edict. It urged Iraqis not to interfere with the American presence. The military touted this as a positive overture. The problem is, it seems it never happened. Sistani's office denies it, and there's no written order. This week, Mideast analyst Juan Cole of the University of Michigan says Ayatollah Sistani did issue a statement
saying that Iraq should be ruled by the best of its own children.
In other words, not by Americans. And Cole says another respected cleric in nearby Karbala has issued a fatwa calling on Shia to rise up against Americans if they stay in Iraq. Gary Sick of Columbia University sees a raw power play.
That's what politics is all about. And actually what we're beginning to see is honest-to-goodness politics in Iraq for the first time in, 20 years.
Yet after Shiite activists were forced underground during Saddam Hussein's long rule, Sik says the political landscape now is a confusing one.
The groups that are emerging in Najaf, for instance, or in Basra, are people that we've never heard of before. And what their views are on this is very hard to tell.
Many longtime Iraq watchers were stunned by last week's stabbing death of two clerics in Najaf, one of them an American-backed exile. The violence was tragic enough, but analyst Cole says it was also disturbing to learn that the murderous mob was led by a young firebrand, Muqtada Sadr. He's the son of an ayatollah, but Cole says normally Shiite clerics only gain a following after decades of study and teaching.
So for a 22-year-old like Muqtada Sadr to control a mob and to kill a mid-ranking cleric like Al-Khu'i, this is something strange.
Cole says this tells him that Iraq's Shiite clerical structure has become weakened during its long repression and that a radicalized younger generation is revolting. Another possible challenge for the U.S. is Iranian influence over Iraq's Shias. The largest Shiite opposition group, the Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution in Iraq, or SIRI, has been exiled in Iran for two decades. But London-based spokesman Hamid al-Bayati says the group has many supporters inside Iraq, and they are working with residents to organize local authority wherever they can.
And in some areas, they select some chiefs of tribes to run the situation. But we notice that the Allied forces are not comfortable with the choice of the people, and they try to impose other people instead.
SIRI has a 10,000-member armed militia and says it will take up battle if the U.S. tries to govern Iraq. None of Iraq's Shiite opposition groups clearly advocate religious rule, as in Iran, but analyst Juan Cole says anything could emerge. In any case, he says the anti-American backlash among Iraq's Shia should come as no surprise.
I mean, the Iranian Revolution did happen just next door, and many Shiites in the Arab world, although they did not necessarily follow Khomeini, found that an empowering idea. And one of the centerpieces of Khomeini's ideology was anti-imperialism.
In fact, Cole recalls that Iraq's Shia led revolts against the British mandate after World War I. That struggle still looms large in the national character. Cole believes the U.S. should brace for the possibility that the longer it stays in Iraq, the more virulent Shiite sentiment against it could be. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.